those of you who do not know my name is Jose Lopez. I get the amazing privilege to serve as the multi-site worship pastor here at Fusion Church, overseeing the worship team. These guys, can you give it up for the worship band? What an incredible job they do. Yeah, so it's an amazing privilege of mine. I came on staff in late November, and so I'm really excited to be here tonight. I feel like God has given me an incredible, incredible word. However, I'm gonna put out a little bit of a disclaimer out there, okay? This one's going to be a little bit of a challenging one. This one might sting a little bit. Because I feel like the word that God has given me is one that's really a little bit challenging for us. And I feel like God didn't call me to come here and play around. Yeah. Right? It's called Fight Night for a reason. Yeah. And so I came to fight for you. I came to love you, but also throw some punches. I came to take, you know, to get a few rounds in. I came to wrestle, get a little bit nitty gritty a little bit. You know what I mean? And so if you get a little bit angry and offended with me, that's okay. I'll give you Nick's email after this, and you can we can connect afterwards. I'll give his email. You can send all the complaints to him, and he can take care of that because it's his fault. If I've got the mic, it's his fault. At least I think it's his fault. I don't know whose fault it is, but it's not my fault, okay? But just bear with me, because as challenging as it is, I want you to just stick around for a little bit, because there is encouragement at the end. There is, I promise you, my entire purpose tonight is to challenge you to believe for something greater than what you're experiencing now. It's to challenge you to believe for something greater than what you could even hope for. Because I think that when you look at society, especially considering Pastor Brendan's challenge with us this weekend, if you didn't get to tune in this weekend, go back to this past weekend's message. Incredible message that Pastor Brendan shared. But there's a call to men right now to rise up and step up into their place of authority, into the place of walking in the fullness of everything that God has called us to be. Listen to me. The stuff that's going on in our world cannot be solved by political parties. It cannot be solved by a political color, a political animal. It's not on the backs of donkeys or elephants. Listen, the world needs men to rise up and to actually live out what they believe to make a difference. But I think one of the issues that we have is that as men, we tend to have an issue with dealing with our issues. We tend to shy away from the really difficult things, because after all, we're winning battles on the outside while losing wars that are killing us on the inside. I want to share with you a very familiar story in the church. If you've been around the church for a long time, it's familiar to you, and I just hope that you fall deeper in love with it. If this is your first time here, hey, you're welcome. Thank you for coming and joining us. We're just a group of messed up individuals like you. We're all together in this. But my hope is that you would fall in love with this story that might be new to you. It's the story of a man named Naaman. And we find it in the book, or as Sam taught me, it's Naaman. Naaman. Right? It's the story of a man named Naaman in the book of 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to read it. I want to read through it, and then we're going to like break it down. All right? Let's get into it. Now, Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. I want to read that again. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. This man, Naaman, was considered a great man. In fact, he had title, he had position, he had recognition, he met all the accolades, he had all of the accomplishments, but after all of that, there was still this one thing that kept him from walking in his fullest potential. There's still this one thing that was affecting him in a way that he could not pursue the fullness of everything that God had for him. Because after all, the Bible says that he was considered valiant and he was highly regarded because the Lord had used him to have victory over the people of Israel. Now, that might hurt a little bit, that God would actually give victory towards your enemies when you're not actually following in his ways. It might hurt a little bit. It might sting a little bit. Because now we have to wrestle with the sovereignty of God. Meaning the way that God thinks in a different way that does not collaborate with our thinking. But he was a great man. He was highly regarded. He was a valiant soldier, but he had a leprosy problem. What I love about verse 1 is that it makes it very clear known who has these opinions of Naaman. The Bible said that Naaman, or Naaman, was great in the sight of his master. Here's my first question for you tonight. Who's your master? Who's your master? Your master is anyone that you give the authority to dictate your life. Your master is anything that you value the opinion of the most. Your master is anyone or anything that you allow to rule your life. And the problem that many of us face is that we could be considered great in the eyes of our master while not being considered so great in the eyes of the master. And we have to distinguish right from the jump who is our master. Because our master could be our careers. Our master could be the opinions of other people. Our master could be our finances. Our master could be the relationships that we're in that we know we shouldn't be in. Our masters could be the relationships that we have with different websites that we know we shouldn't be on. Come on, let's get real. Because I think if we're going to experience everything that God has for us, if we're going to experience a change in this generation, we need to have a reality check of where we are currently right now. I think we need to get real as gentlemen. I think we need to get real with the fact that our titles, our positions, our accolades, our accomplishments cannot deal with the issues that are really at hand. You can make as much money as you want to. You could have the highest degree as you want to. You could be you could be surrounded by as many vehicles, as big a house, as big as a career, whatever the case may be. You could have all of that and still have an issue that is killing you on the inside. I know because I've been there. Hi, my name is Jose. I'm the worship pastor of this church. And at one point in my life, I have been jacked up, messed up, broken, manipulative, addicted to porn, in bad relationships that I should not be in. That's me right here. So can we please just let the walls down, okay? This is not me judging you. You know the beauty? Here's the beauty of why I love doing this, right? Because I'm coming to you as a brother, right? Pastor Brendan, he's like the dad, right? Like, and you all know being a part of a family, when dad says something, it's like, it's just dad. But I'm coming to you as a brother. To say, hey, bro, I'm jacked up too. But if we're gonna experience a miracle in our lives, if we're gonna experience some healing in our lives, if we're gonna experience some transformation, let me ask you, are you tired of dealing with your dysfunction? Because I could tell you this is where Naaman got to. At some point, Naaman had to take off the armor. At some point, Naaman had to take off the wraps. At some point, the helmet had to come off. The sashes had to come off. The medals had to come off. At some point, Naaman was left without all of his accolades, accomplishments, titles, positions, recognition. And he had to look himself in the mirror and say, this matters nothing because I'm dying at the end of it. And so I could just imagine Naaman sitting in the mirror, looking at himself. And here's the thing about leprosy. Leprosy is something that doesn't just take over your body. It's something that happens gradually and gradually progresses. So because Naaman was able to have victory in all these battles and he was able to stand alongside of the people, it's quite possible that his leprosy had not been fully developed yet. And so he wasn't really exposed. But at some point, you have to look at yourself in the mirror and you see yourself exposed to yourself. And you have to have this reality check to say, something's got to change. Something's got to be different. You know, there was an interview with Tom Brady a while back. And he had just won the Super Bowl. And I mean, what Super Bowl hasn't he won, right? I can't stand the flipping guy. For all you Patriot fans out there, that's all I got to say. Matter of fact, there will be a prayer team up here to pray for you at the end. We will lay hands on you and cast out the demons in Jesus' name. But the guy won a Super Bowl, and he was in an interview. And in this interview, he stated, I've accomplished everything I've accomplished, and yet there's this hole in my life that just needs more. I'm just not satisfied. Why? Because I'm telling you, you could have it all and have nothing. You can have it all and have nothing. And this is where Naaman is found. Because at the end of the day, as many victories as he won, he was losing the battle within. Because you can win all the battles on the outside while losing the war on the inside. Can you just take a second, ask yourself, where do I stand? When I remove the titles, right? When I remove the CEO, when I remove the businessman, when I remove the lawyer, the doctor, hey, when I remove the ministry leader, what's going on with me? When all that is gone, what's going on with me? Is everything healthy within me? Because if it's not, listen to me. There is too much at stake to stay there. There is too much dependent on you to stay there. Naaman had to deal with the fact that the reality was that he was still a dying man. The reality was he still had some dysfunction in his life. And so somehow we're introduced to this unsung hero in the story in verse 2. And it says that there was this girl in verse 2. Now bands of raiders of Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. So we're introduced to this young girl who's got no name, no background. We don't know anything about her credit history. We don't know anything about her bloodline. We don't know who her daddy was, who her mommy was. We just know she was from Israel, and she was brought back as a slave girl to serve the man who had done her wrong. You have to assume that this girl's father, mother, brother, cousin, uncle, everybody was annihilated, because I'm going to tell you right now, if you try to take my kid, you're going to have to kill me first. Right? If you come against one of my sons, I promise you, I'm a saved man. I love you, but I will stab you and then pray for your healing later. Pastor Brendan's gonna fire me, y'all. There will be some repercussions. So you have to assume this young girl lost her family, and now she's here as a slave, seeing this dying man going through a situation. And what she does, to me, is one of the greatest aspects of the story. Because if I were in her position, I would have looked at Naaman and said, bro, I can't wait for you to croak over. Because as soon as you do, I'm out. I'm chilling. But this girl had compassion on the man. She says to her, to the man's wife, if only my master would go see the prophet who is in Samaria, who would cure him of his leprosy. In other words, she offered hope to a man that took her hope from her. She offered hope to a man that took her hope from her and said, there is hope for you, Naaman. There's a hope for you, Naaman. There's a prophet in Samaria that could heal you of your leprosy. There are some of us in here who wouldn't even give hope to those of that we, the people that we actually love. Take a look around. We got people in here who won't even share the gospel of Jesus with people we love. And this young girl makes us look bad. She says, hey, there's hope for you in Samaria. And Naaman is like, bet, I'm going to go see this prophet. He goes to the king. He lets the king know, hey, king, this young girl, I took her as a slave, killed her family, and she's still offering me hope, right? And so she told me there's this prophet in Samaria. I should go over there because she claims that he can heal me of my leprosy. And so the king is like, hey, go ahead, do your thing because I need you to conquer some more territory, right? Because the world will ever always, always use you, abuse you, and misuse you for your gifts, your talents, your abilities, but they will not actually take care of the issue that's really going on the inside. But this king is like, hey, as long as I could keep you around, yeah, go and see the king that's in Samaria and let him take care of you. Make sure you get healed and come back so we can get to business. And so Naaman does. And the Bible says that the king sends him, verse 5, he says, by all means, go. The king of Aram replied, I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, with this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does the fellow send someone to him to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me. I love this because the king is like, bro, what can I do for this guy? I can't do what he's expecting me to do. What does he want me to do about it? I can't bring life into this man. I can't heal this man. I can't deal with this man's issue. I can't deal with this man's leprosy. And he starts to freak out. He rips his clothes and he's like, man, this guy wants to pick a fight with me. I'm sick and tired of this stuff. I can't do this anymore. And so Elisha somehow finds out what's going on, and he reaches out to the king. And it says in verse 8 that when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message saying, why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. In other words, hey, king, why are you tripping? I know why you're tripping. Because there has been set an expectation on you that you were never meant to accomplish. Because there are certain things that prophets can do that kings can't. There are certain issues that prophets can take care of that kings cannot. And that's why, listen to me, there's a lot of stuff going on in today that politics can't take care of. I think I'm messing with people's idols. There are things today that don't have to do with what a Republican could do, what a Democrat could do, pro-gun, not pro-gun, Roe v. Wade, not Roe v. Wade. There are things, there are issues that cannot be taken care of politically, but can be taken care of prophetically through the church if men would begin to rise up and assume their position where they're supposed to be. And so the prophet's like, hey, bro, before you reply to that email why don't you go ahead and hit that forward button and send them to me, because this man's going to learn today. You're going to learn today. Look at your neighbor and say, look, you're going to learn today. You're going to learn today. You're going to learn today that there's a prophet in Israel. There's a prophet in Samaria. You're going to learn today that there is real hope that is being offered. You're going to learn today that God is on the move. You're going to learn today that there is hope that is found in Jesus. You're going to learn today that you don't have to stay in your dysfunction. The problem is you went to the wrong direction. And that is exactly the problem that many of us face today. We go to the wrong direction because the world offers us the wrong sources. He was told from the very beginning that he was supposed to go see the prophet, not the king. But the king sent him to the king. Because the world will always send you to the wrong place, to the wrong people, to the wrong sources, to the wrong opinions, to the wrong ideas. And we need to be able to calibrate and recalibrate the GPS and allow that God GPS to reroute us and say, no, 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 you went to the wrong destination. I need you to go in this direction. And that's what God is saying to us today. Because you know why? So many of us, we're going to the wrong sources to find the pleasure, the satisfaction, the healing that could only be found in Jesus. We run to our careers. We run to the websites. We run to the affairs. We run to the finances. We run to the overwork, the idea of being a workaholic. We run to so many other things, looking for satisfaction, looking for hope, looking for pleasure, looking for some sort of healing, looking for something to complete me. And it does not work, because those things, those people, were never intended to meet the expectation that you have placed on them. And so Elisha says, no, no, no. Send him my way. He's going to learn today. He's going to learn today that there is a prophet in Israel. And so Naaman decides, okay. And he goes to the house of Elisha. And this is my favorite encounter in the whole story. Verse 9 says that, so Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. In verse 11 it says, but Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana, Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? Look at what happens. Naaman gets angry because Elisha doesn't even give him the time of day. Here Naaman is with all these gifts, with all this money, with his position, with his title, and his accolades. And Elisha doesn't even have the gall, the audacity, to get off of his couch and come and talk to Naaman himself. He just gives him a word. He says, go to the River Jordan and go dip yourself, because I think it's time for you to take a dip. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to take a dip. It's time to take a dip. Naaman gets upset. And he says, I thought he would come out here and talk to me and see me and wave his hand over the spot, say some abracadabra nonsense, and I'd be healed of my leprosy and we could go about our business. Isn't it funny that a lot of times we have an expectation of how God should move, when he should move, how he should move, why he should move? Have you never been there before? I can tell you I have. Many times in my life. God, I expected you to show up in this way. God, I expected you to do this. God, I expected you to fix my wife. I expected you to set her straight. God, I expected you to handle my finances, even though you clearly instructed me to be a good steward of what I have. God, I expected that you would handle this situation when I wanted you to handle it, how I wanted you to handle it, why I wanted you to handle it, but you didn't. Instead, you give me a simple word. And then, I don't even like the word. Not only do we need a reality check, we need to be humble. Because God doesn't owe us anything. God doesn't owe us a lick. That's it. That's it. Your titles don't impress him. Right. Your position doesn't impress him. Right. Your accomplishments don't impress him. Your money doesn't impress him. Yeah. The gifts you have don't impress him. You know what he's looking for? What he's truly looking for? To see if you could trust him and if you could obey him. Can you trust him to know that maybe the transformation you're looking for, maybe the healing that you're looking for is not found in a moment but in a process? Maybe this thing that he's trying to work out in you is more about the journey than it is the destination. Maybe, just maybe, he wants to see if you can fulfill the simple acts of obedience that lead to the greatest amount of transformation. Because it is the simple acts of obedience. It's simple acts of obedience that lead to the greatest amounts of transformation in our lives. Do you ever think about that? That maybe the reason why God asks you to do something so simple is because you've overcomplicated it. That maybe the reason why he tells you to read your word on a daily basis. Maybe you're like, God, I want you to speak to me, right? And then you come to myself or Pastor Jason or Pastor Brennan, like, I just don't know why God's not speaking to me. And we're like, well, did you tune into the soap? And you're like, no, I didn't tune into the soap, God, or Pastor, because I just can't get up that early. Well, did you read your Bible? I just don't like reading. It's difficult. There's got to be a better way. This is what Naaman did, y'all. God said, go wash yourself in the Jordan. And Naaman's like, not only did you not do it the way I wanted you to do it, not only did you not say what I wanted you to say, but now what you want me to go do is dip myself in the Jordan. But aren't Pharpar and these other rivers in Damascus, aren't they so much more beautiful? Aren't they so much more better than the Jordan? Why? Because the world will always offer you what seems more appealing. Why? Because the River Jordan doesn't look too good. If you know anything about the River Jordan is one of the ugliest rivers you will ever see. It's dirty, it's mucky, it's not appealing whatsoever. And that is the problem that many of us have today. That the things that God asks us to do don't look too appealing. Think about it. That the way to life is through death. That the way to victory is through surrender. That the way to greatness is through service. That doesn't look too pretty. That doesn't look too appealing. It's not sexy enough. You know what I mean? Like, there's far more better ways. And that's exactly why you're still in your dysfunction. That's exactly why we're still dealing with the same messes, dealing with the same battles, dealing with the same issues. that are destroying our lives, that are destroying our marriages, that are destroying our children, that are destroying our future. Because all God asks us to do is the simple things. But we always think there's a better way. God just says, hey, I just want you to come to me. And you're like, but I like this better. This just looks so much better to me. Can I just tell you it's not? It's not. It really isn't. At 35 years old, listen to me. I may seem young to many of you, but I could write a story on my life. I could write a book. Man, I know what it's like to live in a home full of drugs, alcoholism, and even prostitution. The world has offered me so many things. You know, Craig Rochelle says, if sin doesn't look good and doesn't feel good, you're not doing it right. I told you this was going to be a tough one, guys. Come on. But although the River Jordan doesn't look so appealing, I promise you it's so much better. You know why? Because the River Jordan is a place of significance. So you can't go to Pharpar because as beautiful as Pharpar is, Pharpar is not the place where things go to die. You realize that? When you look at the history of the River Jordan is where things come to an end and new things come to life. You guys are looking at me confused. Okay, let me explain. In order to get to the promised land, what did they have to cross? The Jordan. Before Jesus' ministry began, what did Jesus have to do? Get baptized where? Right? It's where things come to an end and new things come to life. Where does that sound like to you? The cross. The cross is where things go to die, and the tomb is where things resurrect. It's where things come to life. And so that's why you can't go to the far part. You can't go to the prostitution. You can't go to the pornographic sites. You can't go to the alcoholism. You can't go to the drug addiction. You can't go to the God of money. You can't go to all these other places because you're not going to experience new life there. The life that you're going to find is in the river of life, which is Jesus Christ himself. So no, Naaman. You cannot go bathe in Pharpar and other rivers because those are not the rivers I want you coming to. So Naaman stomps off like a little 2-year-old kid, angry and frustrated like many of us do ourselves, until his own soldiers look at him and they say to him, chapter 5 verse 13, it says, but his officers tried to reason with him and said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says simply, go and wash and be cured. This is why we push connect groups in our church. Because you need some men in your life who will keep it real with you, who will look at you in the face and say, if God asked you to do something crazy, would you not have done it? But if he asked you to open up your Bible, if he asked you to pray, if he asked you to come to church, if he asked you to get connected, if he asked you to serve on a team, why won't you do it? He said, Master, if he asked you to do something great, would you not have done everything you can to accomplish it? How much more should you obey him in this. Why? Because what God is looking for is obedience. I think as men, we need to start rising up and start going through this Bible. Start looking through these pages and stop allowing our lives to be dictated by what we think is right. But Pastor Jose, you don't understand. I think this is a better option. No, it is not a better option. That's going to kill you. But Pastor Jose, you don't understand. I really feel in my heart what the book of Jeremiah tells us, that the heart is evil and wicked and deceitful, and you cannot tell what it's leading you to do. It's bad. It's not good for you. Stop being dictated by your feelings and your emotions and what you think. Open up this Bible. See what God is asking you to do, and then say, okay, God, this ain't going to feel so good. This ain't going to look too good, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to surrender to you. I'm going to give my life to you, and you can do whatever it is you want with me. Because that's what he's looking for. He's looking for a person who will take a reality check and say, you know what? I'm screwed up all by myself. I need some help. Who will look at themselves and be humble enough to say, I don't have all the answers as much as I think I do. And then who will look at him and say, okay, God, if this is what you're asking me to do, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to obey. Because at the end of the day, your will is perfect. Your plans are so much better. In fact, the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 7 through 9 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I think God might be worthy of our trust a little bit. I think he might know a little better than you and I. I wonder what our lives would look like if we genuinely responded to God with, okay, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to obey you. Because it's true. I understand. Trusting God ain't easy. I understand that it's hard dealing with the unknown. I understand that maybe you're here for the first time and you're thinking, I don't know anything about this God. How do I know he can be trusted? Just trust me, he can be trusted. Because he's got a record. He's got a record. He loves us. He cares for us. He fights for us. But he will not allow us to stay in our dysfunction. And so sometimes you just got to deal with the fact that it's time to take a dip. It's time to take a dip. In verse 14, it says, so Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times. As the man of God had instructed him, and his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. Now this really messed with me. Because, could you imagine Naaman's situation? All he's going on is a word. He's never met this God in his life. All he's going on is trusting and believing that this girl who serves him said, hey, there's a prophet who can cure you. This prophet then gives him a word and says, I want you to go wash yourself 7 times. So Naaman, after fighting, after dealing with his stubbornness, he and his boys go to the River Jordan. He takes off his armor. He's either buck naked or in his underwear, jumping into a dirty, filthy river, and he dips himself. And when he comes up, he looks at his body and he says, nope, it didn't work. And then he dips himself again. And he looks at his skin and he says, nope, it didn't work. And he dips himself again and he comes out of the water. Surely third time's a charm. He looked at his skin and nope, it didn't work. What would run through your mind if you were Naaman? Because the reality is that many of us have not experienced the healing that God has for us because we've given up too soon. Because let's be real. Some of you have tried to give up your pornographic addiction. You came to church on Sunday. You read your Bible. You prayed. You sought the Lord and you said, God, I want you to set me free from this. And you come back to your house and you still deal with the same dysfunction. And you're like, nope, it didn't work. Some of you, it's your marriage. You tried and you said, you know what? Today's a day. I'm actually going to try to love my wife the way that Christ told me to love her, as Christ loved the church. And I don't care what she does. I'm going to love her. I'm going to serve her. And I did it once. And you know what? The arguing still doesn't stop. It's still dysfunctional and I'm tired of it. And so you've given up. Some of you, you've been faithful with your tithing. Or unfaithful with your tithing, and you heard the Blessed Life series and you're like, God, I'm going to give my finances to you. I'm going to trust you with the 90% to do more with the 90 than I could do with the 100. And you still don't see a change in your finances. And so you say, no, this doesn't work. Can I just encourage you real quick? Just keep dipping. Just keep dipping. Just keep dipping yourself. When you don't see the change, it's okay. Just keep dipping. When you still get angry, it's okay. Just keep dipping. When you're still clicking on that website, hey, it's not okay, but just keep dipping. When you're still dealing with the same issues and the dysfunction, it's okay. Just keep dipping, because it's not about the seven times that Naaman dipped himself. It's about coming to be persistent and expecting and believing for God what God wants to do in our lives, to say, I won't give up until his work is complete in me. So as long as I have to, I will continue to just keep dipping. Naaman dipped himself. Nothing. Dipped himself. Nothing. Dipped himself. Nothing. Now the desperation is starting to kick in. Now the anxiety is starting to kick in. Now the worry is starting to kick in, until he finally dips himself the seventh time and he comes up and he's like, oh my God, what's going on? And the skin is as smooth as a baby's butt, and it's just smooth and clean and there's no issues. Why? Because he was faithful to be obedient to what God told him to do. Do not stop being faithful because you don't see the results you want to see just yet. Maybe, just maybe, it's not about the destination, but it's about the process. Maybe, just maybe, God wants you to just continue to push through. Maybe, just maybe, it's just going to take one more day where you finally read this and it comes alive to you. Maybe, just maybe, it's going to take one more day where you're falling on your knees and you're asking God to set you free, and that freedom finally comes. Maybe, just maybe, you're on your face asking God to heal you from this sickness and your healing finally comes. Maybe, just maybe, you're being faithful with your tithing and you're saying, God, I'm going to continue to give whether I don't see the results, whether I see the results or I don't see the results. I'm going to be faithful with my finances, and finally, I see that financial breakthrough. Maybe, just maybe, I'm going to continue to serve and to love my wife and to love my children and to give them my attention and my affection until there's a breakthrough in my family. Listen to me. Don't give up because you do not see the results you want to see. Just keep dipping yourself. I think there's people in this room right now as the band comes up, and I'm getting ready to pray for you, but I think there's people in this room who have lost all hope because you stopped at dip four. You stopped at dip three. You stopped at dip five. At six, and you still didn't see it come through. Just keep dipping. Just keep coming back. You have to get to a point where you say, God, I'm not going to stop running to you. I'm not going to stop pursuing you. I'm not going to stop believing in you. I'm not going to stop trusting you. Because I know you're not finished with me yet. Because I know that no matter what mountain I face, you are greater. I know that no matter what power I face, you are greater. I know that no matter what sickness I face, you are greater. I know that no matter what lack I face, you are greater. I know that no matter what seas you need to part, you are so much greater than all of it. Listen to me. I believe this is a pivotal moment. I believe this is your Jordan River moment. This is the moment where the old ends and the new begins. This is the moment where the slavery, the shackles of slavery are broken over your life. This is the moment where you finally experience healing, but you need to be real with yourself. You need to have some humility in your life to say, I don't have the answers. You need to be able to say, I'm going to trust God and obey him no matter what. And I'm not going to quit until I've seen him move in my life. And we have to have a Jacob spirit that wrestles with God and says, God, I will not let go until you bless me. Because if we give up too soon, we will never experience the fullness of everything that God has for us. I just want to encourage you today. God doesn't want to leave you in your dysfunction. Can we just acknowledge that? In fact, you're here today because God does not want to leave you in your dysfunction. You're here today because God doesn't want you to continue with the same old issues that are killing you from the inside. You're here today because God wants to save your marriage. You're here today because God does want to provide for you. But until you deal with your issues, you're never going to experience your change, your transformation, or your healing. So can we just stand to our feet? I want to pray for you. Lord, I just thank you for these men. Father, I thank you that you are a God who cares for us. That God, you care enough for us to not leave us in our dysfunction, to not leave us in our issues. That you care enough to challenge us to take a real reality check of where we are. To humble ourselves before the King. To hear your word and say, God, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to obey you and I'm going to give you my life and I'm not going to quit until I've seen you move. Father, I pray for every man in this room. God, I pray that every person who entered through those doors would not leave this place the same. God, would you do what only you could do? Because you are so much greater. You are so much more amazing. You are so much more wonderful. You are so much more powerful. And I thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.